A Prime Time with Clarissa Montero replay from Money FM 89.3. Coffee with Clarissa on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome. Newspapers, one of the oldest modes of news consumption in this current age. What exactly are people looking forward to when it comes to getting their news? Today, SPH launches the revamp of their newsrooms. We have with us someone who's been in the newspaper business long enough to share his aims, challenges, and what we can look forward to in 2019 and beyond. Here to tell us all about the transition of the old newsroom into the new newsroom and why, Mr. Warren Fernandez, editor-in-chief for EMTMG and editor of The Straits Times. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Clarissa.
All right, let's get right into it. Congratulations on the revamp of the newsrooms. Look nice and fresh and white.
I'm glad you like them.
But why white?
White. We wanted it to look modern and contemporary and bright so people feel welcomed into the newsroom. And if you walk around the newsroom, you'll see it's quite different from the way it used to be. It's, mm-hmm. it's spacious, it's airy, it's got a flow from one desk to another. And we wanted everything to be sort of within shouting distance of each other. So someone could just stand up and communicate quite easily and seamlessly with his colleagues.
Okay, but what was the impetus for the revamp? Why the change? Why now?
Well, we had been sort of working on transforming the newsroom for several years now and doing it in multiple waves. And we got to a point where we really felt that we needed to start from scratch and redesign the whole newsroom as if we were building it, you know, today. Mm-hmm. And we wanted it to be such that we could work very seamlessly across platforms for print, for digital, for online, for video, for all the visual stuff we're putting out today. And we wanted to be able to work seamlessly across desks as well. So if you look at the way we've designed the newsroom, there's a big central hub right in the middle of the newsroom. Mm-hmm. And all the key people are sitting around this hub, and we can just basically communicate as stuff happens, updating each other, getting the breaking news out, being conscious of how things need to change in the course of the day. So we no longer operate as though we are purely a print product, which is what people know the Straits Times for, something we've been doing since 1845. Today, we're a completely multimedia operation, working across platforms, across time zones, right through the day, updating news as and when it happens.
I don't think a lot of people realize that newsrooms are actually very noisy places.
Can be, yes, yeah.
You know, people are shouting across from each other. Editors are going, hey, what's going on? What's, where's my story?
Yeah.
And I don't know that people actually realize that it's a very vibrant environment.
Yeah, it's fun.
So your new layout is the same way, or it adds to that?
Yeah, it's even more so because we're all fairly close to each other. Mm-hmm. And you've got the foreign desk next to the news desk next to the political desk. You've got the digital folks sitting close to the news operations. And everyone, as I say, is within shouting distance. So you can stand up, turn around to your colleague and say, this has happened. Let's go, follow
and
up.
And there is shouting.
Oh, well, you're a friendly bunch. You're friendly shouting at each other. Yes.
Now, you brought up the multi-platforms. You're now on digital, you're on in print. We work very closely in radio with the newsrooms as well. Mm. So how does that change for a journalist now? How does that change for you?
Well, when I started out, we were always writing for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So you had several hours to craft your story, think about it, rework it, and then you would run up against deadline, late in the evening. Now we're writing for this very minute. You've got to get the breaking news out and then you update it as it goes along. Mm. You add stuff to it. And then you start thinking about curating for print the very next day. So it's a lot more relentless. It's the pressure is on and we have to work across all those platforms. The great thing is that we are connected with our audience right through the day. And, in the past, my predecessor as editor of the Straits Times would have just that one point of contact with the audience, when the newspaper landed on the doorstep with a thump in the morning.
Right.
Today, I'm connected with my audience right through the day. People wake up, they pick up the newspaper or they pick up their phone as they're going into the office. They get into the office, they're firing up their computers to read us. And they read us through the day. So we've got many, many points of contact, including on the radio and out at our events. So that's wonderful because we love to engage with our audience. We love to hear from them. And people do want to engage with our journalists as well. So there's that interactive element to the news as well as the views that are put out as well.
We are talking to Warren Fernandez, editor-in-chief of EMTMG and editor of The Straits Times. Now, you brought it up. It is relentless now because of the very short turnaround times of the news. If it's news half an hour ago, it has to be out in digital. It has to be out on radio, right? It's not,
yes.
It's not tomorrow's news. It's right now's news. So the newspaper business is facing that challenge. And you are also challenged by social media. How do you see this challenge, and how do the newsrooms, accredited media, cope with it?
Well, it's a huge challenge in the sense that the traditional readership is now a lot more spread out across platforms. If you take our total audience, print plus digital, that's continuing to grow. And including with a very young audience, because a young audience is coming to us on their smartphones, on our websites. So they are engaging with the brand. And we have to increasingly see ourselves as a news media brand. So that's what I say to all our new hires. You've not joined a newspaper, you've joined a news organization, which is the Straits Times brand. And that's how we distinguish ourselves from the social media. Because we are a brand that wants to stand for quality, for reliability, for a news source that you can trust. So that means whatever we put out, we are very, very, very conscious that we need to check, double check, make sure it's well sourced, well researched, well interpreted, so that when people come to us, they know that this has had some professional input and standards put behind it, and therefore you build that trust, and that is really the currency with which we trade. So we guard it preciously. We make sure we don't devalue it in any way we possibly can.
Okay, define that a little bit more. I assume I'm a 20-year-old, which of course I'm not, but assume I'm a 20-year-old.
I would never have guessed, Clarissa.
Well, thank you, Warren. Assume I'm a 20-year-old. I'm consuming news all over the place, bloggers and social media posts, et cetera, et cetera. What is the fundamental difference between what we are, whether it's radio or digital or the physical newspaper? What is the fundamental difference between the way we put news out and the way we verify it, and, you know, an op-ed by just about anybody out there that lands on social media?
I would say we have a newsroom of professional journalists who take pride in what they do, so they are well-trained. They've got, many of our journalists are well experienced in the field that they cover. So you take someone like Sandra Davey, who covers education. She has seen the education system go through wave upon wave of reform and changes, and she can track that over time. And when she writes, she brings a certain perspective and authority to the subject. And you can say the same with Christopher Tan covering transport, or Karamjit covering air aviation. So that perspective, that knowledge, that insight over how things have played out over a fairly long period of time is what distinguishes our content from just about anybody else out there. So I think when you consume something from the Straits Times, what we would hope is that you find that value added to the content, whether it's our domestic coverage or our international coverage. Many people tell me they read the Straits Times to get a good understanding of what's going on in our part of the world. We cover China, the US, Japan, Korea, from a fairly neutral and independent perspective. And we kind of join the dots for people out there. So they come to us to get a good reading of what's going on in the world and a sort of insider perspective of what's going on in this part of the world.
Okay, let's talk about verifiable news. You know, you talk about pride and you talk about trust. Your readers, my listeners, the digital platform readers, they have to trust the news that we present is true. A lot of the time, what they read on social media can be very salacious, but it's not verified. It's somebody's opinion. It is somebody's point of view. How does somebody who doesn't necessarily understand, going back to that 20-year-old, how does that 20-year-old distinguish between the news that you present? Why is it trustworthy? Who are you verifying it with versus, you know, the salacious news that's out there in the social media platforms?
Well, anything that we put out would go through multiple levels of checks. Okay. So a reporter comes back, he briefs his supervisor or editor, and they have a fairly robust conversation to verify what he said, to make sure it's well-sourced. How many people have you spoken to? You know, and that sort of argy-bargy that goes on helps ensure the quality. He then writes it. It goes through an editor who checks it. It goes through several other levels of checks before we actually put it out. So while we want to be fast with the information, we want to make sure that the information we put out is also accurate and reliable. Sure. So there's always that tension between speed, but also with reliability.
We're talking to Warren Fernandez, editor-in-chief for EMTMG and editor of The Straits Times. Okay, here comes, you know, maybe not your favorite question, but regardless of all those checks and verifications, mistakes can be made.
Of course.
And, you know, as much as a journalist and journalistic integrity dictates that your opinion doesn't come into it, as a media group, as a news group, we have been accused of being the mouthpiece of the government by segments of the public. How would you address those concerns?
Well, I'll distinguish two points you're making. First is mistakes or inaccuracies.
Right.
I'd be the first to admit that we do make mistakes.
Sure.
And the difference is in the way we respond to them. Mm-hmm. When we find that we've made a mistake, we are quite happy to put out a correction as quickly as we can.
And say you're sorry.
And say we're sorry. If indeed we got it wrong, we will check, we will verify, find out what went wrong, and then put it right, which is not what everybody else does.
Sure.
Right? So that sense of responsibility over the information we put out is a big part of it.
Okay.
Now, on the second part of the question, are we a mouthpiece of the government? I'd say no. I mean, that's not the mission we set for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's anything that would serve the society in any way if we tried to do that. And I think even our political leaders here wouldn't want us to do that because it doesn't serve the society if we don't have a source of information that's reliable and credible. What we try to do is give as much information in as objective and neutral form as we can so that people out there can make up their own minds. And that's our first duty, which we try to discharge. Because if you don't do that, you lose credibility and then you're useless to anybody.
Yeah. How difficult is it, though, to be objective?
I'd say it's not difficult. It's just it just requires a lot of discipline and that relentless desire to try to sort of get the information out there without injecting your own sense of perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you have a perspective,
sure,
but you try to get both sides of the argument. You try to get as much information and all the facts that you can possibly marshal against time. And then you put out the best version you can and iterate and improve it as it goes along.
Okay, you have been a journalist.
Yes, I started.
On the beat.
Yes.
And then you became an editor.
Yes.
And now you are the boss editor of The Straits Times, of EMTM. What are you most proud of in terms of achievements from writer to editor and now the big kahuna?
Well, I've enjoyed my time as a journalist, writing and getting out there and hearing people's stories and hearing what issues matter to them and what moves them. So I've covered the whole range of subjects from education to housing to healthcare. And I still write and I enjoy doing it. I like interacting with our readers and getting their reactions. So I still write my columns every month or so. And the feedback I get, the emails I receive, are a joy to receive because you know somebody is reading it and sometimes liking it, sometimes disliking it. It doesn't matter.
Enjoy it when they dislike it, but they enter into a discourse with you?
Yes, I mean, and it's interesting to see that somebody may have a very different point of view and might send you an email very upset about it. But the more you engage him, the more you get a meeting of minds.
Right.
Sometimes you end up agreeing, but sometimes you don't, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the process that I enjoy. As for being an editor, what I'm most proud of is the transformation we've managed to make over the last few years, going beyond just being a print product, because that's so critical for us today as well as for our future. So if I look at where we are today in terms of the ability to produce across platforms with, say, where we were 5 years ago, we've made quite a lot of progress, and I'm really proud of the team and the effort they've made.
Okay. And that would be the same answer for the, you know, big kahuna part of it.
Yeah, well, I still consider myself a journalist.
All right. I would disagree, but, you know, you are ultimately my boss, so I won't disagree too strenuously. We go back to the reasons why you change and revamp the newsrooms. What do you see will be the biggest challenges the media group will face in the next few years?
I think the big challenge is to engaging the audience, because the audience today is just inundated with news, with information, with many things they could be spending their time and their money and, you know, and their focus on. So how do we find a way to sort of keep them interested in coming back to us And we've got to just relentlessly adapt to their changing needs, their changing habits. Every time you think you've got it figured out, you know, you've done it, a beautiful website, or you've done it for the tablet, things move on to the smartphone, or to the podcast, or to Instagram. And the technology is just moving so rapidly that we have to stay on top of technology as it moves. We've got to change as people's habits change. And what is required of us is that nimbleness of mind to be able to shift very rapidly. And that's something I see today in the Straits Times newsroom. Some years ago, we were, you know, reluctant to move from being pure print.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a lot of nudging on my part and my colleagues' parts to get people to think beyond just words, to think about pictures, to think about videos, to think about tweets. Today, I don't see that resistance. I think there is that sense that we know how to do this. You know, the skills that are required journalistically are the same. And we know how to sort of use those skills in the new media that's coming along. And that, to me, is a tremendous step forward, because I think it imbues in all of us a sense of confidence that whatever technology comes at us, we are able to adapt and change and continue to connect with our audience.
Okay, here's me playing devil's advocate.
There you go again.
Is there a time in the future where you know, the digital platform of the Straits Times could be free?
I won't say never. A lot depends on the business model.
Mm-hmm.
And for now, we've decided that we want to sort of have multiple sources of revenue. So some from advertising, some from subscriptions, some from our events. And that is, in a way, a good path for us into the future.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing is to have a newsroom that is staffed with talented and experienced journalists. And that costs a lot of money. You know, some people say to me, why can't the news be free?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, as the day...
Because I need to eat.
Precisely. The day your dentist will do your tooth extraction for free, or your lawyer will, you know, do the legal document for free, it's the day where we can have everything else for free. But mm-hmm. we need to pay our journalists. We need to hire good people. We need to train them. And most importantly, we need to retain them.
Right.
Because that's where they get experience and knowledge and understanding of the subject, and then they write with authority, and then people keep coming back to us. So we are a business. I don't shy away from saying that. We've got to keep this business sustainable for the long haul. And we've been a paid product since 1845. I don't think that's going to change in a hurry. And I think that's a model we've got to keep working on. And most important of all, we've got to convince our viewers and our readers that
it's
we're giving them
paying
precisely.
For.
Yeah, we're giving them good value for their money.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you, because I need to eat. Thank you, Warren, for coming
Thank
in
you.
And talking to us on Money FM 89.3. That was Warren Fernandez, editor in chief for EMTMG and editor of The Straits Times.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.